The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
And this is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Thanks for joining us. We really enjoy doing the show, and we've met so many wonderful people through doing the show, and a couple more wonderful people right now joining us. Patty and Deacon Keith Walcott joining us here on the program. Welcome, first of all, to AM 1260 The Rock.
Thanks for having us, Paul.
Nice
to see you.
Deacon, tell me about your mission right now. You're down at St. John Newman.
Right. So one of the primary things that actually my wife and I do together is we're prepping a lot of couples for marriage. And that's been, I think, one of the joys of my ministry that I've had. I've been able to do some things with Patty. And I will also say that in doing that, one of the things that I have found is it's kind of maybe strengthened our marriage. I mean, at times you're sitting there and you're working with a couple and you're going through the, you know, some of the things that, oh, watch for this, watch for that, et cetera. And it's the old practice what you preach, right? So at times I find myself, gee, I don't maybe do that so well, and perhaps that's something I need to take the prayer and do a little better. So that's one of the bigger ministries that kind of we're involved with together there.
You know, Patty, I never, until Keith said that, I never really, it never hit me that when I did, we did pre-Cana, here's this guy who's never been married talking to us.
Right.
What do you say? Do you ever kind of frown at him when he's talking to some young married couple and like give the woman's
nice
perspective?
Yes, every once in a while. No, it's really nice because I think we can share the marriage vocation with these young couples, and it's just so energizing to us to see them, you know, come to the Catholic Church to be married and to realize the importance of it, but also to be able to speak to them from a marriage perspective, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything. It's been wonderful. More good, though.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Kids today, more worldly than maybe I was all those years, 44 years ago. Still a little starry-eyed sometimes.
Yes. and that's okay, though, because we were the same way. And
He walks on water.
Right. And I think that's a really good thing to see just that, you know, youthful joy and they can't even imagine a problem coming in their future. And that's okay, as long as they have the strength and they know that when it does come, it's okay to go through it together. And that's what we talk to them about.
How did you guys meet?
We used to work together in an accounting firm.
What drew you to her?
She's beautiful. I mean, look at her, you know. Yeah, that was definitely the first thing there, Paul.
Well,
but quite honestly, the other thing was that we worked at Arthur Anderson together. Firm's no longer around. But early in our relationship, you talk about what brings you to a particular vocation. My vocation at the diaconate grew from our marriage. And she's really she is the most instrumental person in having brought me back to the faith. For lack of a better term, unchurched, baptized as an infant, but really never attended church all the way through college, et cetera. As my pastor also has said, kind of looking for that fulfillment in other places and ultimately realized that was not going to fill me. And so had this tug, this call back to the church, never really took that step though on my own. And it's when we met and started to date and getting back into the church. And I just saw that exterior beauty, but really that inner beauty, that holiness that she carries about her. And she really assisted me down the path towards trying to be a holier person and is the source, really, of my diaconate vocation, to be honest.
In your diaconate, do you find that people who come back to the church sometimes come back stronger than those who are just checking the boxes?
I do. Yeah, there's no doubt. And I've shared a couple stories with that with some friends who had come to the church, maybe from a different Christian background, et cetera. My journey's different in that I never, you know, I wasn't Protestant. I was baptized Catholic.
Right.
But being away from the church so long and just recognizing that there's just that fulfillment's not there. And yeah, so when I came back, it was with a lot of fervor. And, you know, she definitely assisted me in that. And I'm maybe a little different in that I recognized my lack of knowledge, if you will, of what there is in the Catholic Church, if you will. So unlike most people, I kind of read the Bible from page one to the end.
All the way.
Yeah, just ripped right through it, the Bible that my wife bought me. And I just recognized there's some things in my life that just weren't, you know, they weren't filtered right, if you want to put it that way. The same thing. It was in a men's group with now the late Deacon Gary Tomaszek. It was led by Deacon Tom Sheridan, who's still there. But Gary at the time was entering into formation. And there was just something he said there that touched me or it provoked me, if you will, to get into the catechism. And the same thing, just recognizing, not doing things out of obligation, but just the beauty of what the church holds for us, you know, in a life lived well. So, yeah, it definitely, you know, was much stronger in my faith as I kind of grew through that.
When I asked that question, Patty, you were nodding pretty vigorously there, that people coming back, and of course, you got a great example right here with us,
right?
Your husband. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, because I was just always one of those people, I checked all the boxes. I went to Mass every week. My faith is extremely important to me. The saints are extremely important to me. But when he embraced it and really learned it, he's taught me so much. He's delved deeper into just aspects of our faith, and it's been nice for me.
Let's go back to that dating thing. When this guy comes over and asks you, a coworker comes over and says, hey, would you like to have lunch or whatever? Mm-hmm. What went through your head?
Well, I had a crush on him first.
Oh. Did she tell you that?
Yes, yeah, she did.
So, yeah, we started dating, and I remember almost right away, you know, I would be telling him I was going to Mass on Sundays. He said, well, would you mind if I went with you? I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And we never broke up, so we just
Straight through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is good.
I would say the biggest mistake I made is at the time we were both working at the same company, Arthur Anderson. And there was a point in time where I was supervising a job that she was working on. And this is before we really, you know, had eyes and what et cetera. But I failed and should have made her do more there because that was the last time I had the upper hand. But in any event.
We're going to take a break right there. We'll be back in just a couple of moments. We're with Deacon Keith and his wife, Patty, who are going to talk about his call to the diaconate next. Stay with us. Deacon Keith Walcott and his wife Patty joining us, serving right now at St. John Newman. Patty, when we just talked about his growth in faith and him strengthening you in the faith, but he started thinking about the diaconate. What was your original thought?
Well, the first time I think I remember hearing him say that he would be interested in it, our kids were pretty young and we were really, really busy. And I just said, okay, well, you know, maybe someday, like, you know, just kind of, I would always support it, but I just, it to me seemed a far away thing or a further away thing.
It's but a commitment.
But I, you know, he would have my full support. I always felt he'd be really good at it. He has a way of understanding the faith and also relating to people, whether it's an intelligent conversation about the faith or just relating to them on a everyday basis. So I did feel he'd be really good at it, but I thought, well, yeah, you know, someday. And it was like that never left him, never left us. And I always felt like while I thought it would be great for him, it shouldn't be me encouraging him to do it. Just more like he would have my support, but I didn't want to push him. But it was just other people in his life and in his community who would say things to him like, you know, you should consider the diaconate. And it just kept happening. And so at some point, it opened our eyes.
Like, Deacon, how important was knowing that support was there?
Oh, it's huge. And one of the things that Patty shared with me when I, you know, made that fateful conversation, if you want to call it, where I said I really would like to enter at this point in time, was she says, I'm all in. And she also said that she'd been praying about it for a period of time, what she iterated there about, but I wanted it to be your kind of decision, if you will. It's not really a single decision. I mean, when you enter into something like this, it's a family decision. But to know she was there praying for it, you know, even behind the scenes, if you will, there were times we would, you know, maybe pray together about it. I think any kind of call like this, it's not something, boom, there's some big event, right? Mm-hmm. It's just the small things of life. I'm a big music guy, and there's a song, Dream Small, and it just talks about those things, you know, doing the little things well. And as Patty said, it was just over time, there were just a number of just small, short conversations or people in your lives that just – you had a little look, or you had a, you know, something that they did that drew you into this. And it's through that affirmation and those continual yeses, if you will, or those things that affirm this call, because it was probably, it could easily have been 10 years from the time I said, I'm thinking about this to when we actually entered the program. And over that time, there were just, I remember meeting with a spiritual director at some point in my life. I recognized, okay, I've intellectualized the faith, if you will, and I don't mean that from a, you know, pompous way or anything like that, but it needed to be in my heart. It needed to be, you know, where I could feel that faith and really draw into a relationship, as opposed to, it's great to know about someone, but it's better to know them, if you will. And so I went for spiritual direction, and the first meeting, the priest said, well, come on in, and we're going to talk about that, because some people think they want spiritual direction, they want something else. And for whatever it was, at some point in the meeting, he's like, do you ever consider the diaconate? I'm like, why would you say that? Yeah, I have been, actually. He goes, I don't know, there was just something about you. And he goes, I don't say that often. So it was just little things like that along the way. Actually, the very first thing I remember was Kara, Patty's daughter, Kara, my stepdaughter, and we was early in our marriage, I think. And I'm sitting down, as I had mentioned, I read the Bible, you know, from page one. I don't recommend it necessarily, but that was how I did it. And I'm just reading the Bible, and she said, "Oh, you know, you should be a deacon or something like that." And I went, I kind of laughed at a ton. I laughed and went, "Listen, I'm on, like, you know, book number two here. Let's pump the brakes on that diaconate thing." But those little seeds, they continue to grow and be affirmed, you know, across the way. And obviously having the support of my wife and the next person or next group I went to, if you will, were our kids. Our kids at that time, Kara had she was married and had kids of her own. But those of ours that were at home were ranging from like sixth grade into about probably third, somewhere in that vicinity. And went to them and said, I feel called to do this. I'd like to do this, and wanted their support. I think the reaction is what I get usually from my kids. What does that have to do with me? You know, whatever, Dad, do what you're going to do, right? But, you know, at that time I was coaching them. We were involved in several activities like that, and wanted to know that this wasn't something that was going to disrupt, you know, their lives, so to speak. And they were fully supportive as well. One thing that just popped in my head, I remember, and it was tough because there were things I missed. You know, I wasn't able to get to certain cross-country meets in the mornings when I would be at class. But on one hand, it did free me up. I could see maybe multiple kids because I was coaching the one. But I remember my son, our son Matthew, saying to me, "Dad, it's not like you're blowing us off to go golfing, you know?"
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you're doing something that you feel called to with the church, and that was a big part of our family, always has been, you know? So, again, I think a vocation like this to diaconate, you know, it does grow out of the family life and things like that. And to have her support and the kids' support was critical.
In talking to people who have entered the diaconate, Patty, there has to be a huge family buy-in. Yeah, you may want to do it, but the family has to buy in. When you first start learning more and going to meetings and stuff, where you're kind of like taken back, like, oh boy, he's going to be gone quite a bit.
Well, I think I knew that going in. You know, they do a really nice job of talking to us ahead of time and letting us know what that commitment was. And we were just 100% honest and said, we still have very young kids. None of them were driving. They were all in young grade school, and they were all very active kids in a lot of sports. And I said, I'm all in, but there might be times that I can't be there with him. He can be there all the time. But my parents were just a gigantic help through the formation program. So they would help us, you know, carpool or pick up kids from practice. But if it was an official game or our kids were in cross country and track or meets, you know, I wouldn't miss those. I didn't think it was right that both parents be gone. But I was honest about that going in and said, you know, if this is the right time for us, these are our commitments right now and our children come first and we can't get that time back. And they were very open to that. And it was nice. So,
yeah, 6 years is a long time.
Yeah. On one hand, yes. The other hand, it goes to go by quick. But yeah, just to piggyback on that a little bit, that was another thing that you look for. How does God affirm certain things in your life? And that was another one. You go in. We're both accountants. I'm a owner of a small public accounting firm. It's a busy job, you know. Mm-hmm. And she had a busy job, and we had all these kids and things like that. And I remember just saying, you know, if this is what you want me to do, Lord, this will work in some way, shape, or form. And it just did. And that's just one of those things that most people aren't going to have, burning bush moments in their lives. No. You know, they're going to have these little affirmations that, yeah, you're on the right path, you know, stick with it. So,
okay. Well, let's talk about parish life when we come back. Mrs. Deacon and Deacon, because I think you probably kind of get incorporated in a lot of stuff, Patty. Stay with us. We're on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski, AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski. We're here every week at this time. Thank you for joining us. Deacon Keith Walcott and his wife Patty joining us today. Deacon, talk about parish life now. You've got your diaconate and boom, you're assigned. You're the new guy in town.
No, it's been amazing. And we were blessed in that we ended up going back to our home parish. That's not always the case. But I think there was some changes happening in our parish at the time that some folks knew about and with our kids and the desire to keep our family together, we went back there. It really, St. John Newman's just been an absolute blessing for our family. We had kids involved with the Life Team program, so that was one of the initial things that I did was getting involved with that. And again, it's one of those things where our kids are very good at telling me what boundaries are. So it was, it wasn't difficult to do that. You know, sometimes you're like, oh, my dad's the deacon. Now he's going to be horning in on my, my little faith thing here. But I relate well to kids, maybe because that's about the maturity level I have. You know, getting involved with that early on. And then just, again, working with the married couples, I do some men's spirituality there. That'd be the second thing. If I were to look at things that really, fertilize that seed, if you will. Men's group at St. Ambrose was one of them. We were parishioners right when we got married. We lived in Brunswick, and that was our home parish for a number of years. And that group really inspired me and pulled me along, et cetera. And so that would be the second thing, really, that helped me along in this call to the diaconate. And I just have a passion for men's spirituality. I just think it's one of the things that's desperately needed in the church, you know, is to have strong men, strong family men, men of God, and to recognize that you got a calling. You have an obligation, if you will, to lay your life down for your wife and for your family. So, those are the things that I'm most involved with at the parish. But we have a lot of fun, too. There's no doubt.
Well, so. Exactly. Patty, do you find you inherit this role of Mrs. Deacon, so there's expectations on you, too? He's the deacon, but, you know, people tend to maybe
I'm one of those. I like to stay in the background, so I sit in the back of the church and just imagine that no one even knows who I am. So I don't necessarily feel that way. I do enjoy our ministry that we do together, but I call myself a supporting role in the parish. I'm there to support him, but not to get involved in all of his ministry.
You're not the co-deacon, huh?
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, in any parish, there are bumps in the road. And we've certainly had some out my way and at St. John Newman. You got to be the strong guy now. The parish is shaken by anything, any number of things. And you got to be there for them. And is that a burden or is that a joy to be of comfort to folks?
I think it's a joy. I mean, I guess a little of both, but I don't really feel burdened by that very much. I think it's more of a joyful thing from the perspective of when somebody needs help. And interesting things about going to your home parish, and we had been there three years before getting into the diaconate. So it's not as if we have 20-year roots at this parish, but they're deep. And when our kids were in sports and things like that. And I think there's times when people, if they know you prior quote to being the deacon. They have that relationship with you. And so when you do enter into something where you have a difficult moment or, you know, things like that, we just had one this past week where a young lady at our parish, she drowned and it was a tragedy. It was horrible. And she had grown up with our playing soccer with our kids when they were young. And we knew the family that live in our neighborhood. It was good, you know, from the perspective of being able to step into that role and just be someone they know to bridge them through some of that, the vigil service and the funeral, et cetera. Certainly nothing you want to do.
No.
There's no doubt about that. But to know that, and it was expressed by the family too, you know, they came by and, thanks for being there for us. And from that perspective, there's I guess joy is the best way to put it. It's just a feeling of satisfaction. Then, you know, you thank God and it's like, well, you know, thankfully I could just be here in a small way to help you through that, as did the entire community. I mean, this parish community came together in a big way for them and has in a multitude of things. We had another, you know, during the COVID, one of our parishioners, she's heavily involved in the parish there, and her husband really should have died. And she shared her story, so I don't feel about saying that. But again, the recognition of the prayer that came together and support for her and her husband, those are times that you look at it and you say, it's good to have a family like that. It's good to have God at the center of all that. And quite frankly, it's good to have, the Eucharist there. You know, you just get there and you got the Lord and you just spend time before him. And it's it's been more of a joy than it would, I would say, any kind of a burden.
In the tough times, Patty, do you stand back and see his leadership role and say, you know, I picked the right guy?
I've always felt I picked the right guy. But yes, that's, you know, kind of what I said I saw at the beginning. Like, he just has a way to relate to people in difficult times and joyful times. He's very compassionate towards them, and it's really nice. It's nice to witness. Yeah.
In the work with the younger people, what are you seeing in the younger people today? Deeper roots, better catechesis? Because, you know, in my day, it was because I said so.
They think a lot more. I'll be honest. You know, they spent a lot more time and thought maybe than we did. They've been an inspiration to me, to be honest with you, because they have an empathy towards others that maybe I didn't always have. And so they've drawn me into a spot of seeing things a little differently, if you will. But to see young people that will spend time on a Sunday evening and a Tuesday evening or whatever it may be to give to their faith is just, it's really encouraging. There's no doubt about it. And our group's amazing. Paul Koopman's the leader of the group there. And we just have an amazing core working with these kids. And they really inspire you. I mean, they can lift you up on a bad day, you know, if you're in there. And they're fun. They're just fun to be around. And
a lot of energy.
Doubt about that.
I wish we had more time. We're out of time. Thank you for joining us, Deacon Keith and Patty Walcott from St. John Newman. We appreciate your being here. Folks, you're listening to God Calling. We're here every week at this time, and we hope you'll join us each and every week as we continue to explore vocations, no matter what they are, married, priests, deacons, and on we go, or single life as well. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.